Psalm 3, please. And this is a good psalm. And of course, a lot of choirs sing this psalm. We might want to learn this. It's a blessing. And it's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of David when David was in trouble and his own son Absalom had revolted against him and was seeking his life. We'll say more about that in a minute. The Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? My Bible has an exclamation point behind that. David's in distress. And he's done got to a place emotionally where he is literally crying out to God. And he is making a loud voice. He said, Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and a lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And I laid me down and slept and awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Now, of course, we know Selah is a word in a song. It's a pause in the words, and it has the music. That's kind of like what Dr. Seidler said. He said, Selah means, well, how'd you like that? And there's several places in this chapter where we see the term Selah. But I want to preach for a little while tonight on guarded by God. Again, we mentioned already that this psalm is when Absalom had revolted against his father David. Absalom started courting. We call it courting. He started sympathizing and meeting at the gate the people and telling them, well, David, my father don't have time for you. He don't really care about you. I'm paraphrasing. So he started coddling the people. And then, of course, one of David's chief councilmen, Ahithophel, if I'm saying his name right, if I'm not, five of us couldn't probably say it in here, Ahithophel. And, of course, he began to counsel. As he counseled David, he counseled Absalom on how to go against his father. And of course, I won't get into him, but basically in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man he inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. In other words, this man was a smooth talker. He knew how to put words together. He knew how to put things in motion just with his words and his wisdom. You understand that with one man, Absalom, now get this, one man got hatred in his heart, got jealousy and envy in his heart, and rose up against his own father. Do you understand? Because of that, 20,000 men lost their life in that battle. Because of one man's heart was wrong. Because one man had a mindset that was against God and went against his father and began to distort truth. And distorting truth means you're lying. I mean, we can sugarcoat it, but the facts are the facts is that he began to coddle people and began to suddenly, Satan's a very subtle person, and he began to subtly begin to get in their ear. Well, we need to do better. You can actually run the kingdom better. Well, God didn't think so, or he'd have put you there. And so when it's all said and done, Absalom lost his life and 20,000 men, according to 2 Samuel 18:7, 20,000 men lost their life because of that. And I began to wonder how serious, this isn't the message, but how serious that it is that we be on top of truth. Not only speaking it, but also repeating it. Hearsay. Now, folks, I'm just going to be honest, and I don't think I've ever, pretty sure I've never just outright in my life before salvation, surely not since salvation, I've ever just made up a lie to hurt somebody. But then I wonder, how many times have I repeated something that I didn't know was true? And then it ended up not being true. And then you begin to wonder how many people that person told. And then how many people that person told. And then how, y'all understand where I'm headed with that. And then there have been a lot of people damaged when truth is not was not told, and when things are not up to par. I don't like people putting words in my mouth, and I don't want to put words in other people's mouth. That's dangerous to do that. That gets people in trouble. That splits churches. That splits homes. That hurts testimonies. I do not want to plant my truth and me not even know the situation. Not know what's happening, what's going on. Be very careful. That's why the Bible tells us to be slow to speak and swift to hear. The old saying goes, there's a reason the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. Amen. He wants us to hear twice as much as we talk. But Absalom here, he's making a mess. But if you'll notice Psalm 1, 2, and 3, Psalm 1 begins with tranquility. Blessed is the man. Psalm 2 begins with hostility. Why do the heathen rage? And then Psalm 3 starts with stability, simply Lord. Lord is a title of authority. Lord is a title of being in charge and being all powerful. And so David knew, he said, it doesn't matter how many have risen up against me. I'm talking to the Lord, the one that's in charge, the one that's in control, the one that has everything under his feet. Praise God for that. But I want to notice tonight three simple thoughts from this text. And I hope that will be an encouragement to you and me as well. But notice the details of Psalm 3. I'm going to look at the pressure of David's foes, the protection of David's God, and the peacefulness of David's sleep. Now, notice first of all, in the first two verses, we find the pressure of David's foes. Now, notice verse number one, the first part, the increase of David's foes. Lord, he didn't say, are they increased that trouble me? He said, how are they increased that trouble me? It was a very serious matter, and it hurt his heart that so many was believing what Absalom was fishing out there, and it just kept increasing of people that would come against him. His own friend, Ahithophel, was his own friend, and many in the kingdom that David thought he had their allegiance and he had their loyalty. And he said, Lord, how many, have mercy, Lord, I can't believe how many is believing all of this and rising up against me. And folks, you and I, if we live long enough, we see the increase of David's foes, we'll see increase of ours. Not everybody's for us. Amen. Not everybody's for us. It hadn't been too long ago, I found out a group of, when I say local pastors, I'm not talking about right here, but around the area, didn't like me. I thought every preacher liked me. We was in the same battle, doing the same work. But I come to find out what they did was they kept increasing the number. They said the church had, Brother Tommy had to be compromising for the church to be growing. He had to be a liberal. One of them went so far to say, his son let the cat out of the bag, told another youngin' here, Bible Baptist Church is straight out of hell. Yeah. I'd be afraid to say stuff like that. And you begin to think, how are they increased that trouble me? Folks, when you live long enough and you decide to do what God said and God gives you a word from His Word and you react upon that and live for the Lord, you'll find out there'll be increased that trouble you. You'll not do a work for God. You'll not be sold out to God and live this life for Jesus without a foe and without them increasing along the way. It's going to happen. The Bible said, beware the man everybody speaks well of. Amen. Folks, especially in the pastorate, and you young preachers, if God's burdened your heart about being a pastor, you better grow some leather skin. Because they may be for you today, but they won't be for you tomorrow. You may be the best preacher since Billy Sunday today, but you'll be the worst preacher since Benny Hinn tomorrow. Anyway, that's the first one that come to mind. But the pressures, and that's what they were doing. They were trying to get David out of the position that God put him in. They were trying to discourage him in such a way that he would give up and quit. He'd run away and allow Absalom to take the throne in whom God had not ordained and never did. Of course, he got hung up by that long hair in the thickets of the trees. And God took him out of here. And that's another message, but let God handle your foes. He can handle them. And the Lord never did handpick Absalom to be the successor of David. We know that was Solomon. But anyway, he was going to take it by force. He was going to dethrone Daddy and take it over. And matter of fact, he actually almost did that, but God intervened. And there's pressure. Of David's foes, the increase of David's foes. And then we see also the insurrection of David's friends and the insinuations of David's foes. Look at verse number 2. He said, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah, hey, here's their talking. The insurrection, they've rose up against him. Now they're insinuating now because of the lie, God's not got his hand on him anymore. God's not going to use him anymore. Folks, people will say, hey, they'll believe stuff on you, and they'll say, God's not going to use you anymore. And God don't have, don't listen to that. David didn't. Don't swallow that propaganda. God, hey, you know why I know God's not done with you? You're still breathing his air. You're still on this side of the dirt. That's why I know God is not done with you yet. Amen. Don't listen to the lies of the enemies that come against us. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to people. Hey, folks, we all are works in progress. Nobody here has arrived. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul never did say, I've arrived. He said, but this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind and I reach forth the things that are before. And folks, we don't give people an opportunity to get right about their past and go forward for God, then we're not spiritual. Amen. Yep. We're not right with God. So we see the pressure of David's foes. Man, the insurrection of his friends. Folks, some of these were men that were close to him, that walked with him and loved him, and all of a sudden, the subtleness of one man turned everybody against him. And they kept increasing and increasing and increasing. Well, not everybody turned against him, but a good number did. And 20,000, as I've already said, done lost their life. There's pressure in that. And the whole point of the enemy pressure is to get you to quit under it. to get you to sink under it, to get you to throw in the towel and simply say, I'm done with this. Folks, in the last 28 and almost a half years, well, it's a half, 28 and a half this month, how many times do you think that the devil's told me, won't you just give it up? You can't handle this. The pressure gets so surmounted. Satan, the fiery darts of hell flying against you and your family. And man, you're trying to love the Lord and trying to be there for your family and trying to love God's people that you're pastoring. And sometimes you go to bed at night, can't sleep, and tears run down your face because of the burdens of the people. And you're concerned, can I go ahead and say it, worried about their spiritual life. And you don't understand some things. And tears roll down your face. You can't sleep at night. You wake up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep. Hey, sometimes the devil will say, hey, why do you put yourself through that? Why don't you just quit? We've got to remember he's a liar and the father of it. You're reminded of the song, it'll be worth it after all, child. Those that start with you may not finish with you. But you know what? I'm glad the Lord said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then the pressures of David's foes. But then look at verse 3 and 4. The protection of David's God. Notice verse 3 and 4. But I'm glad he interjected that. Man, what a sad way to begin the text, begin the psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But then he said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and a lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He heard me from the throne. Notice these things, simple things in this portion of the psalm. The protection of David's God. God was his shield. Shields may not get you out of the battle or stop the attacks, but they sure protect you through the attacks. God is a shield. I'm glad it's up to him what hits me and what don't hit me. Folks, God is a shield for me, David said. He knew what it was about battle and war. He knew what those shields meant and how the fiery darts would come and they would cover their whole body, the front part of their body. They'd cover their whole body. And though those arrows would come, the battle was hot and there might be some wounds here and there, but there was no fatal shots because they were behind their shield. Folks, long as we allow God to be our shield, the battles will come. There may be some wounds and bruising and scarring and tears shed, but I'm glad, thank God, God is my shield. He stands in front of me, and if I allow him to be God and shield my life, thank God, hey, there'll be no fatal wounds in me. Hallelujah. There won't be any fatal wounds. That's what the devil wants to do, is take us out. Everybody here. Preachers, you listen to me. He's wanting to take you out. You see, he wants to kill me. I'm not just talking about that. He wants to take you out of the ministry. He wants to take you out of serving God. Every Christian here, he wants your family out of the house of God. Amen. He wants to take us all out. But we better not poke our head around him. We better not gay. The shield stayed in front. The shield was the protection. And any soldier that lost confidence in the shield or didn't think the shield was that big a deal and they come out from around that shield, hey, you know what happened? They were fatally wounded and they were taken completely out of the battle. If we ever get out in front of God, we'll be fatally wounded. We get out from behind God and allow God to be up front, allow God to protect our life spiritually. You know what's going to happen? We're going to get out of church. Come on. The devil will make all kind of appeals to you about coming out from behind the shield, the protection of God. And when I talk about the shield and protection of God, I'm talking about the will of God. the Word of God, the ways of God. Those are the, hey, we got to stay behind the shield of God, and those things are included in all that. And He'll get us to think, well, I can do better, or I don't like that, or I think this is a good idea. And next thing you know, we've took our families out from behind Him, and next thing you know, they're going to be fatal blows. Amen. We're going to be in trouble. He said, God was His shield. God was His glory. That's what He said. God was His glory. He said, what is it, verse number 3, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. You know what He said? He said, no man can serve two masters, and I'm only serving one, and it's God, and He's my glory. Amen. Is God your glory? Is God your glory? The Bible tells you can't serve two masters, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Of course, again, that word shield means more than just a mere frontal protection. It means all around that God, if we'll stay behind God, the battle is still there. The foes are still lying. People are still snobs. They're still wicked. They're still vile. They're still, hey, but you ain't going to be took out of this thing, and He gets the glory. God is His shield. God is His glory. God is His uplifter. He goes on to say, and the lifter up of mine head. Man will try to cast us down. Man will try to keep us down. David said this in 2 Samuel. I'm going to read this to you. I'm trying to hurry. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 49. He said this. Let me start in verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted to be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me. Listen to verse 49. And that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. What he's talking about, God was his uplifter. Man tried to cast him down. Man tried to do away with him. But God kept him lifted up. Amen. Folks, if the Lord lets me live to see an average lifespan of 70 to 80 years or more, kind of like Brother Larry Range, he said he prayed for the Lord to give him 80 years. And we went to his 80th birthday party. And I said, well, brother, you got what God, you prayed for. And he looked at me and said, me and the Lord's in renegotiations right now. Nobody could come up with it like Brother Raines. Like, he said, we in renegotiations. Of course, that's been 3 or 4 years ago. So I guess they renegotiated another year. Amen. I need to get Brother Raines praying for me. Amen. But folks, you're not going to live for the Lord And everybody like you, and everybody be for you, and everybody be on your side. You can run here and run yonder, and it's going to be the same everywhere. But He's the lifter up of our heads. He's the one that gives us strength. He's our shield. He's the faithful one. And it doesn't really matter. I have found out in my years, it doesn't really matter what they say about you, Brother Jonathan, it doesn't really matter what lies they tell on you, how they perceive you or how they perceive your ministry or how they perceive your Christian life. It doesn't really matter. They cannot stop God from protecting you and blessing you. They cannot stop it. They cannot stop it. They can talk. They can get some against you, and that will happen. But God always brings those to rally around you. God always raises up another one to back you and to pray for you and to support you and to be there for you. So just keep on keeping on. And one day when they roll my casket right here where this communion table set, I want my children, I want this church to be able to say, a perfect man don't lay there, but a faithful one does. Through it all, God's been good. And through it all, by the grace of God, he stayed faithful to his course. He stayed faithful to what God had called him to do. And folks, that'll be our prayer. God, give me grace and strength every day to be found faithful. to be found about your business and to be found doing what you've called us to do and put us on this earth to do and where you've told us to do it. Be there. Regardless of what the enemies say, regardless of what the enemies do, regardless of who backs you and who turns their back on you, just keep going for God. Amen. Y'all can go ahead and say it out loud. That's easy preaching, ain't it? But sometimes it's harder living. Amen. But God's grace is sufficient. But he said God was his refuge. What he said. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and a lifter for my head. And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He was his refuge. Folks, I'm thankful that God is a refuge for us. Let's notice thirdly and finally, the pressure of David's foes, the protection of David's God, and I like this, the peacefulness of David's sleep. Look at verse 5 and 6. And I, when God gave him that word in verse 3 and 4, and I won't read it again, he said in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. 10,000s of people. That's what he said. You want to take that literally? I think I will. Amen. I think I'll take it just like it said. As far as I know, there ain't been 10,000 of people against me. As far as I know, there haven't been 10,000 of people against you. Why are you quitting for? Quit finding fault, man. Hey, there's fault in people. People are not loyal. People ain't what, everybody ain't what they say they are. Big deal. God is. God is. Not everybody's going to applaud you. Not everybody's going to be for you. Not everybody is wanting the best for you. Not everybody likes you. And there's some even jealous of you. So what? You keep doing what God wants you to do. Hello? Two things stand out here. In verse 5, we see David's confidence. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. After God gave him a word that he was his shield and his glory and the uplifter of his head, and he cried with the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out. When he knew God had heard him, you know what he done? He laid down and had confidence that God had him. In the Lord's Prayer in John 17, now we call the model prayer the Lord's Prayer, the Lord is my shepherd. That's not the Lord's Prayer, that's the model prayer. I know some of you are going, you're wrong, preacher, I've known that all my life. We've been told wrong all our life. The model prayer, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he make me the light and the green. That's the model prayer. There's an outline of prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is when the Lord Jesus prays to the Father in John 17. And he made a statement. Lord, all that you've given me, I hadn't lost one of them. Whoop. All that you've given me, I've not lost one of them. That's a shouting ground. That's will to have confidence. He's not going to lose you either. Amen. Now, we may lose our children. I've lost mine a few times. One time, Thomas. I went all the way home. Me and my wife, I had a meeting at a church to talk to some people, and so we drove separate cars. I don't know how old Thomas was. 18, 19, no, I'm just kidding. He was just young. And he wasn't around there when my wife left, so she assumed he was riding with me. And well, when I come out, I got my car, truck left, and got home, and my wife said, where's Thomas? I said, I don't know. You tell me. And we went in an instant panic mode. And I took off to my truck, got almost here, and I seen Randy Cooper flagging me down, looked, and I said, Thomas in the back seat. And I think a time or two when I was young, I got left at church. But folks, the Lord's not going to forget us. The question was asked, will a woman forget her suckling child? There's a possibility. The Bible said that'll happen. And we see it in the last days, that happens. But the Lord said, I'll never forget you. Folks, we'll have confidence in that. We'll be able to lay down and say, praise God, there's confidence. He ain't gonna lose me. We see David's confidence. Then we see his courage in verse number 6. Look at it. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me. Listen, round about. He said, they have surrounded me. He said, my enemies, tens of thousands. David had a lot of enemies. But God gave him the grace to stay calm while being surrounded. While being surrounded. You remember Elisha's servant? When he got up one morning and all the enemies was surrounding them. And he woke up the man of God and said, and I'm paraphrasing, we're about to die. The enemies are surrounding us. And the man of God began to pray and said, Lord, oh, please open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and soldiers of God and the chariots of fire were surrounding those enemies. Folks, you do believe that account, right? Folks, I think the Bible says there's angels that encampeth around about them that fear the Lord. We don't worship angels, but we do respect their ministry, and that's part of it. God gives his angels charge to encampeth about around them. Hey, folks, the enemies may be around us, but God's army's around them. If they make the wrong move, they're gone. I'm not just talking big, and I'm not trying to be act charismatic. That's just a biblical fact. That's a biblical fact. We can have confidence in him, not in us. And we can have courage in him. Folks, I don't know how the devil may be trying to plague your heart with fear tonight. I don't know what he's doing, maybe trying to get you to quit and discourage you tonight. But he's a liar. And he may have used other people to lie on you and to turn their back on you, even chiefest of friends. But don't you quit, because he's not left you. And he's going to make sure those that walk with you for a certain amount of time, then they quit on you. But he's going to make sure somebody else comes along and helps you along the way. God's faithful that way. God is faithful that way. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's all stand. Come on, Miss Courtney. Thank you.